As I've said before, there's no real live work in Melbourne at the moment, so I've been ringing up comedians and seeing how they're going. And it's time to ring. Well, I love this guy. He's been a fixture of the comedy scene in Melbourne for a long time. You know him as the guy from Rock Quiz or maybe Raymond J. Bartholomew. He's an absolute legend. Let's see what Brian Nankervis is doing, because he's a Melbournian as well, in these COVID times.
Yeah.
Brian, how are you?
Okay, I'm good. Going for a drive, do a little gig, then drive back with the chat. It's called the debrief.
And good morning, Brian Nankervis.
Yes, good morning, Dave. How are you?
No, I'm good. And, you know, I was just listening to you on the ABC, but people that don't know, in Melbourne, you're on the ABC on Fridays.
Yes.
The Friday Wrap.
That's right. The Friday Review, Dave.
Sorry, Friday Review.
Yeah, and spelled R-E-V-U-E as opposed to I-E-W.
It's a great show, but your voice is very soothing.
Oh, I
think you could do some sort of sleeping or... You've got a very lovely... Have people told you that before? You've got a very nice voice.
I have had a bit of that lately. I find it very, very hard to listen to. And sometimes I just think, Jesus, Brian, why are you speaking like that? And in fact, come on, speed it up a bit.
Yeah.
But the longer I go on, and maybe the more I do radio, the more soothing my voice is getting. Maybe it's because I'm getting older.
I don't know. Yeah, it's... It's interesting. And also, the other thing I really want to ask you about, you were talking about your mattress, because you've got a new mattress, and we've had...
Yes.
We were going to buy the one the Queen has, but then my wife started looking at all the reviews online, and it's not good.
What does the Queen have?
Oh, she's got like some, I don't know, it's like $4,000 or $5,000 for the mattress.
Yeah.
And it's just some make of mattress, and now it's Queen approved. You know how they get products that are Queen approved?
Oh, okay. Not the band.
Not Brian May's not lying on the...
Yeah, after... Didn't he fall over or
yes.
He had a little turn, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, Brian May.
Oh, maybe that hair. Maybe it was the hair.
The
that
hair.
Jerry,
your dog?
Come in
Jerry, come on.
Come on, Jerry.
Jerry.
All right, Dave, let me tell you...
What sort of match,
cause mattress?
Yeah, because I know on the ABC you couldn't say the... But you can say it here. You can tell me now. Just tell me what...
Well, I could, but I've forgotten.
Oh.
That's the trouble. It's part of me wants to say duck.
Right. It's an Australian made one.
It's Australian.
Yeah.
It's Australian, and apparently the material is absolutely, completely, and utterly harmless to the environment. In fact, I think it probably helps the environment.
Right.
But let me just say, Dave, that you lie on that mattress, and it's like every single part of it is coming up to greet you, to support you, to love you, and to honour you. It's really quite remarkable. You lie down and it's like every little bit of it comes up, and so your lower back, your elbow, your neck.
Even your ankles, you said, were being supported.
My ankles were being supported. And if there's one thing that someone needs for their ankles is support.
Okay, well, I got.
Do you want me to try and find out?
No.
Would you like me to
just text it to me, and then I can add it. If people really want to know, I can tell them next time around. But I think probably I'm the only one out there that probably wants to know. Even though a good recommendation is good,
and you think of how much time you spend in that particular bed. I mean, really, we need to look after ourselves, and we need to sleep well.
Yeah. Because we've had the same mattress for 10 years, probably. So it's...
Nah, you've got to get rid of it.
Got to get rid of it. It's actually... The kids claim there's a ditch where I lie. Oh, my God.
There's a what? There's a ditch?
A ditch. They call it the Dodge. They call me Dodge, which is like dad.
Well,
the Dodge ditch, they call it. Yeah. There's a ditch.
One of the great things about this new mattress is that apparently it can come in two halves. So one half can be firm and the other half
can be soft.
Can be medium.
Yeah.
Or soft if you want to go that far.
Yeah.
And apparently there's something underneath that you slip out and you put it in. But yes, it's. I'm saying it's changed my life. I think there's probably other things that I could look at in terms of life-changing activities.
Yeah, right.
But
buying something is a great way. I can buy something to change my life as opposed to running every day for 40 minutes.
That's right, or undertaking some self-help program.
Or healthy eating or something like that. Yeah. I think that's good. Now, trying to remember, Brian, where I first met you, because this is what I do on this podcast, and, gee, you've been around longer than me on the comedy scene, because I remember seeing you on TV, and I remember you used to be my cousin's teacher, Anthea Crowan.
Anthea Crowan. Is it Crogan?
No, Crowan, I think. Crowan, yes, Crowan.
Crowan with a soft G-H.
Yes. Oh, God, you got a memory. Yeah, and so
that's right. We're at Kingswood College.
Kingswood College, who have just changed their uniform. Did you see
this? Yes. I did notice that on the ABC website.
Yeah. So she used to talk about you.
Oh, well, she was a firecracker.
Yeah, Anthea. Yeah. I used to tutor her. Oh, boy, it was hard work.
Anyway. Yeah, she was full of get up and go.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
As I remember. Yep. Well, I taught for 6 years, fell into the comedy scene at The Last Laugh in 1985.
Wow.
Ended up on Hey Hey It's Saturday in February 86. I reckon you and I first met, and I'm tipping around the Jim Owen show.
Yes. Yeah, so I started 1990. And so I would have, because I got so interested in comedy in the late 80s, and I would go to gigs. I didn't go to many gigs, but because there weren't that many around. So I would have seen you on TV. And also remember, as my wife just reminded me, Let the Blood Run Free.
Blood Run Free. Yeah, well, that started at The Last Laugh in 85. And then we did sort of 5 years' worth of live shows.
Wow.
And ended up making two series for Channel 10. I think in 91 and 92, they only showed the first series.
Oh, that's good.
we copped such dreadful reviews.
Yeah.
In fact, Robert Fidgen, I always like this one, said that it was the worst television he'd seen since 1956. Now, given that was the year that television started...
Slightly harsh. He was harsh man, though.
He was very harsh, yeah. Robert Fidgen. Turns out he was a friend of my mother's, so he took it all back in a beautifully worded letter. We ended up selling that show to Zimbabwe.
Wow.
To Spain, to France, to Germany, to the UK. It showed on Channel 4. And one of the great joys of my life was watching an episode of Let the Blood Run Free dubbed into Spanish.
Oh, great. Great. And so, Jamone, because you acted in Jamone, and I also did, I was writing it, but I did a bit of acting in it.
I reckon that was 94.
Yeah, 93 or 4, yeah.
93 or 4. Remember, Jim Owen decided that he had this show, the Jim Owen Show, that would essentially be Bobby Franklin as his sort of sidekick, right-hand man, second banana.
Yeah.
And then there was this sort of team of, players, I suppose.
Glenn Robbins,
Sean McAuliffe.
Yeah, he talked about it when I interviewed him, how you and him played Mexicans.
Yes.
And I kept calling him Gringo, and as you pointed out, that's a word for a Westerner. That's not.
Well, Sean would point that out. Who else? Maybe Brad Oates.
Yeah, Brad was in it a bit. Absolutely.
And there were some great gals.
Women. Maybe.
Okay.
Not Dana Reid. She was
Dana Reid.
Dana Reid. Yeah.
I was hoping you'd get that.
Yeah.
Who else? Glenn. And we used to do live nights at the Star and Garter.
Yes.
So we'd shoot the show on a Thursday night at Dorcas Street, but on a Wednesday night, we'd go to the Star and Garter and try out the material.
I remember that. Wow. Gee.
Which was actually very smart. Directed by the great Ted Emery, who could be alternately gorgeous and slightly scary.
Yes.
As a director, was really Jim Owen's show. So we often, and he didn't really. I remember we used to do sketches and I was all for rehearsing and getting it right. And if Jim Owen was in one of the sketches, you know, he'd say, oh, no, it'll be all right. Let's just do it.
Let's just do it.
I found that, I remember finding that pretty tough. But that's where I started doing warm-ups.
Oh, did you do warm-up on the Jim Owen show?
Well, who used to do it? The king of the warm-ups.
Michael Pope.
Popey.
Yeah.
It was Popey's gig, as many of them were. And then he was crook one night, and I remember one of the producers, Peter Bainhog, came into the writing room or the green room and said, okay, we've got a problem. Michael Pope's not available. Is there anyone who would do warm-up tonight? And I thought, you know what? I'll do it. I could do a few poems because, you know, Raymond J. had a bit of a profile.
Yeah.
And I thought I didn't have much on that night and maybe – you know, took a big leap of faith, and I did it, and I really enjoyed it. You know how often it is when you do something the first time, everything sort of works
because
it's fresh and it's new. The big problem is doing it again.
Yeah.
And I remember I thought, right, I can do some poems. What used to work when I was teaching? Quizzes. I'll do a quiz. In fact, maybe I'll do a music quiz. And I can remember going home to our house in Tennyson Street, Elwood, and putting a cassette in and taping the introductions to about 12 songs, or maybe 20. And we had I got a cassette player on, you know, in the room, in the studio. I got someone to put a microphone up against it, you know, Pock or one of those great guys. Floor managers. Yeah. And it worked really well.
Oh, wow.
And then so...
That's how Rock Quiz must have started.
That's right. 10 years later, I got a phone call from Peter Bainhog saying, hey, remember those quizzes you used to do for warm-ups? And I'd continued to do them, you know, with the panel.
Oh, yeah, I remember you doing the panel. Because I was on the panel.
Did the panel for maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
And so Pete said, look, I'm with this production company, Renegade. We are wanting to put together a pilot for a music quiz show. We think the time is ripe. Would you be up for it? And so I was with Peter Bainhog and Kenny Connor. We nutted out the format for Rock Quiz. And, you know, 15 years later, we're still doing it live when we can. But no more episodes for the telly, unfortunately.
No. How many years did you do on SBS?
We did, I think, 12 years. Wow. So the first ep went to air in February 2005, and the final year of taping was 2016. Oh, that's 11 years.
It's such a good show, too.
It's complete joy. And in fact, they're showing...
repeats on Friday nights, aren't they?
Yeah, on Friday nights. And I watched one the other week on Canada. We did a whole series where we saluted different countries, you know, the music of different countries.
Yep.
And for Canada, you know, we had Olympia do a Joni Mitchell song, Brian Cadd, the beautiful Caddy, do a band song, Paul Dempsey did a Leonard Cohen song. And I just thought, why are we not still making this show?
Yeah. Did they just do, was it, I mean, to survive 11 years on a network is pretty remarkable.
Yes.
Did they change, what I found on different TV shows I worked on, the changing of the guard happens upstairs and they go, why are we still doing this? This is,
Look, that's the funny you mentioned changing of the guard, because that's how we got the gig in the first place. Because we made our pilot, we shopped it around to every network. They all said, thank you, but no, thank you. Mm. Then there was a change of guard at SBS. There was a new program director came in, Matt Campbell, and Peter Bainhog said, "Why don't we, you know, show him the pilot?" Excuse me. And he watched it and he said, "You know what? Let's do it."
Wow. And was that the pilot had Julia in it? Julia Zemiro?
No, the pilot was hosted by me.
Yeah.
And in fact, we with Rebecca Barnhard.
Oh, fantastic.
As my sort of sidekick.
Yeah.
Dougald was there as the roadie scorekeeper. The band was absolutely the same. Wow. Peter Lusk, Mark Ferry, and James Black.
Yeah.
And so when they said, we'll do it, they said, look, the only thing is, given our charter as an ethnic broadcaster, we need a front person who has got perhaps a slightly less Anglo background. Now, whether that was a nice way of saying we don't want Brian Nankervis up front, anyway, so we then, and I was a bit upset, but I thought, well, I can either stay upset or we can make a show.
Yeah.
So we started casting. We auditioned Ando.
Wow.
We auditioned Carolyn Tran.
From Triple Tran. J.
Auditioned Jay LaGaia.
Oh, wow.
And then we auditioned Julia Zemiro, and within about 3.5 minutes, the time of a pop single, we all looked at each other and thought, right, she's the one. And ultimately, I don't think the show would still be going if it was, you know, she's remarkable.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. But I mean, you're very mature making that decision. A lot of comics would go, and just storm out of the room. But
I can remember where I was when I got that phone call.
Oh, of course you did.
And I remember thinking, oh, hang on, I thought this was. But, you know, those things, you'd know that. You get those calls. Yes, you know, I did a series with Working Dog. In fact, after doing the panel, doing warm-ups for the panel, then I did warm-ups for Thank God You're Here.
Yeah, great
and
show.
And then
yeah.
I was approached to do a show called A Picture of You.
Yes.
That I hosted.
Mm.
I think you did one of the live ones.
I did one of the live ones, yeah.
At
great.
The forum.
Yes.
But we did 8 episodes for Channel 7, and that all seemed to go well, and the ratings were good, and the reviews were good, and then that was it. And I remember got a phone call from Michael Hirsch. He said, well, Channel 7 have declined to do another series. And I just thought, oh.
Yeah.
You know, but what do you do?
Yeah, you can't control those things. I remember someone ringing me from a production company, maybe Andrew Denton's production company, years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, just said, Dave, we love you. Do you love TV? I said, I love TV. Well, we are going to do a show about TV, and you are going to be the host. And we've thought of you, think you'd be perfect. And I remember I was sitting outside the shops in the car. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just going to get it. And I don't think I heard from him again. That was it.
No. But did you ring him up?
I think I emailed the email and said, no, they've gone a different way. Oh, I think the show eventually got on, but it was hosted by, it was called Tony Martin, Ned Cavalier. It was called The Year of Without Sets, or The Year of Sets, or it's on Channel 9.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, Sets, right, clever.
I remember interviewing Ivan Reitman's son, who directed a lot of movies, Thank You for Not Smoking, and he said, but when he was trying to get up that Thank You for Not Smoking movie, Mel Gibson rang him up and said, we love this movie, I'm going to be in it, you're going to direct it, I'm going to fund it, it's all getting ahead, I'll call you tomorrow, we're going to have a meeting. He goes, I never heard from him ever again.
You know what, I think part of the problem is, and I'm sure it's not confined to showbiz, but I think part of the problem is that when people approach you, they fall into this vibe. They fall into this very up vibe.
Yes.
You know, they want to flatter you. They want to tell you how great you are.
They want you to say yes too. They want you to say
that's right. I suppose they figure that the greater they think you are, the more likely you are to say yes.
Mm.
And so everything, it's like after a first show, you know, people come in and they're back slapping and the producers, that was great. But in your heart of hearts, you know, it was okay, but I know it could have been a lot better.
Oh, you're very wise, Brian. You're very wise.
It's 33 years of 35.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But I do love it. And I got to say, this little time we're going through at the moment, I miss being in front of an audience.
Yeah, so do I.
Or working with an audience, maybe. Maybe that's more. I mean, being in front of an audience, it's incredibly exciting, and when everything's rolling along nicely, it's just a great feeling.
It is.
One of my worries, and I don't know if you feel this, is that up until March this year, 2020, I was probably doing, I don't know, some weeks six, some weeks three, but an average of 3 or 4 gigs a week.
Yep.
I was sort of match fit.
Yes, I've talked about this. Yes.
Yeah, I could sort of turn up at a corporate gig at Crown or one of your comedy nights there in Westgarth,
yes.
or a Rockwiz live show, and I felt pretty comfortable, and I had, you know, what worked last week. I could tweak it a bit if it was the same audience, or I could deliver it again if it was a different audience.
Yes, of course.
And I sort of worry a bit that when we do get back,
yeah,
it's like, oh, hang on, how does this work?
I know, but I think everyone will be in the same boat. So,
well, yes, but that's, you know, the audience doesn't know that.
No.
So it's all very well for all the comics to be in the same boat, but the audience is going, God, this guy's supposed to be fabulous.
Yeah.
Or the producer saying,
not very good.
Yeah, no, I heard that you had 2,000 people in the palm of your hand, and you seem to be struggling with 50.
Well, yeah, I do wonder about that, whether our skills will drop over this time, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, that's why the radio's been great, and because the Friday Review only happens once a week, it does feel a bit like, I always try and imbue it with the vibe of a gig.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's a
3-hour gig, you know, and so we sort of, and working with Jacinta Parsons this year, because this
she's
is
great.
Our
yep.
fourth
yep.
year.
Mm.
It's great. It's really exciting. And it's the whole other side of it, which I'm really loving, is the sort of the producing of interviews and the editing. I've learned how to edit, Dave.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, I don't know how to do that. Oh, that's good.
It's really great. So, you know, we had 25 minutes on the phone with Lucinda Williams a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
I would get into my little edit booth and carve it down and take out the ums and grab this bit here and put it there. And it's really exciting. It's a new skill.
With radio and rock quiz and just your whole show, is there anyone that you've really, when you've met, you've been a bit nervous? It's freaked you out a bit? There would have been some rock stars, surely.
Yeah, there was a bit of that with Martha Wainwright.
Oh, right,
I remember, partly because she's got this sort of background, you know, Loudon Wainwright's daughter, Rufus Wainwright's sister, and the daughter of Anna McGarrigle, or maybe Kate McGarrigle, one of the McGarrigles. And you know, she came to Rockwiz. Was early on, and I remember she walked into the Gershwin room and Dan Kelly was up on stage, who she later performed Slave to Love with, and she just had this sort of aura about her. And so I was a bit nervous there. Who else? Billy Bragg.
Oh,
was
great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But within about 30 seconds, he makes you feel so comfortable. I think probably because I'd done so many gigs, and I'd done, you know, like you, lots of benefits where there's music involved. And I'd also done shows at Triple R since 1979. So I knew a lot of the local musicians.
Yeah, right.
Now,
right.
Someone asked me the other day if I get nervous. I don't so much now. I get nervous if I think that the material or the situation is not right, you know, if the venue is bad, like, you know, Crown Casino.
Yeah.
You know, if there's that big, you know, you're on
big
stage,
dance floor,
big dance floor,
comedy moat. Yeah,
you know, I get that can make me nervous, but I reckon doing all those years of warm-ups,
that'd make you bulletproof, surely.
Well, no, but not about that, but I just ended up, I started going out and mucking around with people in the foyer.
Yeah.
And I found that really helped. And in fact, I would often go out and, you know, get them as they got out of their cars and, you know, would be mucking around in the car park. And so once we were in the room,
Yeah, you were their guy.
I knew them. Yeah. I knew a lot of them, and they knew me. Yeah. And, yeah.
Rock Quantock told me he does. I mean, Rock Quantock used to do a lot of corporate gigs. I think he still does a few. And he told me that he goes into the foyer and talks to them all and does. He says it's his version of close-up magic. He walks, but then he remembers it all and goes on stage and retells it.
Yep.
He goes, we've got Gary from Accounts over here. He's a mad cricketer, you know, and all that, which is a great tip.
And they love it. And there's a lot of performers. I say, you know, I might be doing a show with someone. And I'll say, oh, come on, let's go out.
Oh, they don't want to go?
And they go, what? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I said, come on, we'll go out and we'll greet them as they arrive. We'll get them out of their cars. You know, we'll jump into the back seat with them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm up for that. Yeah, I know, yeah. I know. That's what someone said to me once. You were much better than the person last year. Oh, was I funnier? No, you talk to us.
That's right. It does make the gigs a lot longer.
Yes.
And it's sort of more tiring in a way.
Of course it is.
But ultimately, I find it really beneficial. And,
much. It makes. Oh, I just find if there's a bit of a lull, I go, what about the guys from Adelaide I met? And they all cheer.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Guys from Geelong. What are you
exactly.
Doing?
Exactly. So I reckon all those warm up gigs, years and years of, you know, the panel and Leno and Woodley and Bert, you know, I did Good Morning Bert, Australia I heard you talking the other day with Sergio Paradise.
Yes.
Because he'd worked on GMA, and watching Bert Newton was such a thrill for someone who'd sort of, you know, been watching him on the telly for 30 or 40 years, going back to Graham Kennedy, but also very instructive watching the way he chatted with people, watching his technique, watching the crew, the way he related to the crew. Belvedere. Belvedere ended up, he's our floor manager at Rockwiz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Robbie. Yeah. Robbie Mascara, and has been for probably 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, he's great. He was always very supportive when you go on those shows.
Yeah. GMA. Yeah, absolutely.
GMA.
GMA. And just Bert. Oh, and he was just so charming, and the people adored him. Often it was one of the hardest things about warm up is the regular audience.
Yeah. Oh, yes. They come back every week.
And they've heard what you've done, and so they don't listen. Yeah. And they just talk all through your preamble.
That's lovely, isn't it? Yeah, thanks for that.
Oh. And they sit right down the front and they feel like they know the crew, so yeah.
I just remember my partner Kieran was ushering at the comedy club, and it would have been the 90s, and the Doug Anthony All-Stars were doing a season, and she said the same girls would turn up every night and run down the front and sit down the front, about 8 of them.
Yep.
They're all hardcore Daz fans, and Paul McDermott said to Kieran after about the third night, please, we can't have those same people down the front.
No.
Because they weren't great audience members. They'd heard it all. They were such fans, you know. Like,
yeah, that's right. And they wouldn't laugh in all. No. It didn't have that spontaneity.
And they talk amongst themselves. Oh, look what Paul's doing now. Like, oh, Tim's got a different shirt on, or, you know. God.
Was that the comedy club? Oh, that's
in Carlton. The one in Carlton.
Did you ever work the one at the Hilton?
No, you know what? I went to a comedy night there, but I didn't. No, I was just started after that, I reckon. Yeah.
It was in the basement. And I was lucky enough to be compere and did a spot along with Shaken and Suspicious.
Oh, wow.
And the amazing Jonathan. And I got to watch Jonathan every night. Have you seen that doco?
About him nearly dying. Oh, yeah, he's
got to watch it. You got to watch the doco.
I supported him a few times. He was amazing to watch. But certainly,
remarkable.
Certainly fueled by something. He was.
Yeah, but, you know, but then incredible. Other times I think not. I think he would go through big stages where he was, you know, playing up, and then he would clean up for a couple of years, and then he'd get back on it. Mm. We did 2 weeks at the Hilton, and then I remember about 5 years later, I was invited to a Christmas dinner at Tim Smith's. Remember Tim and Julie used to live in Mozart Street?
No, I don't. Yes.
Yeah, upstairs, and there was, you know, all the suspects were there. Simon Rogers.
Andy Goodwin.
And Amazing Jonathan was there.
Oh, wow.
And I walked in, and he quoted about three quarters of a poem that I used to do.
Oh, there you go.
And I thought, wow, you have got a remarkable brain.
Yeah. I've got to watch that doco. Now,
it's incredible.
I asked everyone these same questions, Brian, so get ready. Yeah. What was the last thing you cooked?
The last thing I cooked was probably pancakes.
Nice.
On a Saturday morning. My wife, Sue, who, by the way, sends you her very, very best.
Yeah.
She has just taken to the lockdown cooking with incredible style.
With gusto.
And so I'm sort of not doing it so much. The last main meal was probably fried rice.
Nice.
With a side of Asian greens.
Ooh,
broccoli and zucchini.
You got kids at home still? Or your kids
We're full house at the minute. Oh, okay. Almost full. The oldest one, Claudia, is living in Carlton.
Yeah, right.
But we've got Lola, who's 22, and Henry Joe is doing year 12.
Oh, poor Henry Joe.
Not good. Yeah, not easy. Not good.
No, that's hard. That's hard yards.
It's really tough. So we're playing a lot of table tennis. We play a lot of games, and we're just trying to keep him up and about.
Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult. Difficult. Yeah. My oldest is in year
11. How old are yours?
Year 11, year 8, and grade 5.
Oh, okay, So you're still in the thick of it. Oh, so how's the homeschooling going?
No, not great. But three kids on computers, and then they'll pop. I said one of my friends said it's like whack-a-mole. You get one settled, and the next one pops up, and so on. What was the last thing you watched or listened to?
The last thing I watched was last night. I possibly listened to your podcast with Sergio Paradise. Yeah. But also I've discovered this incredible podcast called The Good Old Grateful Dead, which is a deep dive, if I can use that term, because everyone else is, a deep dive into the Grateful Dead, particularly their album Working Man's Dead, which was released 50 years ago.
Wow.
And they've assembled, there's so much live material that it's remarkable, but you've got to be a Grateful Dead fan, I think. But in terms of the box...
A deadhead. I noticed your dog's called Jerry, so...
Jerry Garcia, Jerry Lewis, Jerry Seinfeld, Jerry Lee Lewis. But in terms of the telly, that English comedy called This Country...
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. Is that good? Oh,
Dave, that. You've got to. Three seasons... I think they've won BAFTAs. They've won all sorts of awards. It's basically about two cousins, Curtin and Courtney. What's the gal's name? Anyway, sort of, you know, doing it tough. Family's doing it tough in the Cotswolds.
Oh, great.
It's mockumentary.
This Country.
And
all right.
I reckon I watched one last night for the fourth time, and I laughed my head off.
Okay, I'm going to watch that.
Incredible.
This country. And what was the last bit of human contact you had? This is often for single people a difficult
human
question, but you
contact. Well, the family, yes. Yeah. But I'm thinking about yesterday. Took Jerry Garcia / Seinfeld / Lewis for a walk and met up with Dr. Goggin, my very dear friend who lives around the corner Mozart Street. And we walked down to the beach and we stood on St Kilda Beach and just breathed in those positive ions.
Oh. Nice. Well, Brian, it's been great chatting to you. And Rock Quiz Friday nights at the moment, repeated.
Yeah, Friday nights. This week is a ripper, and also the Friday review on the ABC. But look, I'm taking you down the stairs because I think it's important for your back, for your body, to get a new mattress.
Yes.
Susie, what's the name of that mattress company?
Dave.
Once again.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. What's the name of the mattress?
Sleeping Duck. So you can do some Googling. It's meant to be Australian. It won a couple of prizes
Sleeping
on
Duck.
That show and Choice magazine. And anyway, right. Yeah, and they're cheap, Dave. That's what's incredible. Instead of spending like $3,000, you spend, you know, $1,200 or maybe $1,500.
Oh, this is a great recommendation. Sleeping Duck. Yeah, all right. Duck. Thank you. All right. Okay, there we go. Oh. Sleeping Duck.
Hey, good on you, Dave.
Thanks, Brian.
It's been a real pleasure. And just very quickly, the other talk about the guests that Channel 7 used to fly out for the Eric Banner show. The one that I remember is Bo Derek.
Oh, Bo Derek came out, right.
Bo Derek, and I had met Bo Derek in 1976 when I was hitchhiking through Spain. We ended up waiting for a ferry across to Ibiza, and we got chatting with this very handsome gentleman and a gorgeous woman that I took to be his daughter, who turned out to be his girlfriend, Bo Derek. We had a couple of days together on this island camping at this person. Yeah, it was remarkable. She it was pre-10.
Yeah, so she hadn't broken through. Yeah.
But she'd just come from making Orca.
Right, the
movie about whales.
Whales, yep.
Anyway, so that was 76. Fast forward 86, 96, yeah, probably 20 years. And I heard that she was coming out for Eric Banner's show. And so I found out where they were going to be shooting. They were shooting some sort of weird thing at South Melbourne Beach.
Like a parody of 10 kind of.
That's
a parody
of 10. And I went down there and the crew said, she's sitting in that car. So I jumped in the back of the car and I said, Bo, how are you? And she stared at me, you know, as if I was a freak. And I pulled out of my pocket a Polaroid of, unfortunately not her, but myself and her husband, John Derek, sitting on this sort of courtyard in Ibiza. And I said, look, and she looked at it and her face dropped and she said, I've got this photo. And I said, yeah, because you took it. Anyway.
Wow. And so she remembered you?
Right. She, well, you know, I don't know if she remembered. Oh, she sort of did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. She ended up, I got a couple of postcards from her.
Oh, wow.
Which were interesting, partly for their spelling and also for their sentence construction.
You're 0 degrees with Bo Derek. That's incredible.
I know. It was pretty great. Yeah, well, I think we were there for her 18th birthday and she kissed me on the cheek.
Oh, wow. That's 10 out of 10. Right.
10 out of 10, Dave. Hey, good on you, mate.
Good on you, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Nankervis, ladies and gentlemen.